That's it. Good morning. I wanted to share God's word with you this morning about something that I have been learning, something that has affected me since the time I was born and didn't know about it until I found out that this Bible is God's word and his will for life. And it has to do with our spiritual warfare. You can turn to 1 Peter. Please, Hebrews, James, if I can find it. We'll start in chapter 5, but before I do, I wanted to read you a song that Martin Luther wrote, I think like 4 centuries ago, and it's about spiritual warfare, like it was going on then too, and you can follow along. It's number 68 in our books. It's called A Mighty Fortress is Our God. It reads, A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper he, amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Just ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Jesus Christ, his name from age to age the same. And he must win the battle, and I have to say he will win the battle. And though this world with evil filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them, abideth. The gift of Holy Spirit is ours through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Pretty mighty, pretty powerful. I thank Tom for letting me come up here and share this stuff with you. God is our helper, and you know, we live in this world and there are mighty, some, you know, flood of mortal ills while we live on this earth. There's pains, there's frustrations, there's hurts, but God helps us, and we're going to look at how he helps us. We can't control the things that come against us, but we can control what we think about them and how we react, how we respond to them. We have an enemy, and he's armed with cruel hate. Jesus in John 10, he spoke of the devil, and he said, the thief only comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's his aim, and it's aimed at us. And we're in this warfare, whether we wanted to be or not. We didn't choose to be. It just is. So do you want to overcome? You want to not be beaten down? Me too. He wants us, the devil, he wants us to fold. He wants us to buckle. He wants us to quit. He wants us to give up. God provided all that we need to stand victorious. And he gave us his son to pay for our redemption. He took us out of the kingdom of the devil, and he put us in a new kingdom, just like manifestations, right? A whole new kingdom. We live somewhere else. And it might not always seem like that, but it is true. This is what God did for us. We're going to look at what God says about the spiritual warfare and how he is our hopes that we can overcome the influences of the devil against us this morning. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, We're going to start in verse 8. God's word to us. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. You know, God's imagery is just so astounding. You know, a roaring lion, I'm sure you've watched nature shows, right? The lion goes out to hunt his prey, and he has this big, huge roar, and it's like, it's kind of scary, right? But if you notice right afterwards, he walks about like that, but he's seeking whom he may devour. We don't have to be devoured. It's not a given. And the context of this, when I was looking at this, because it's not just about me and me watching out. You know, it's not just about you and you watching out. Well, the context where God put this is just incredible. So we're going to read it. And it has to do with the church and how the church works together. In verse 1 of chapter 5, it says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you, be subject to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the weak, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." And you know this word humble, it means to lower. You're like, God is here. We place ourselves under because he is mightier, he is wiser, he is more loving, he has complete understanding about life. And when we place ourselves under it, we reap the blessings of life the way he intended us to live. So we're supposed to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Whom do what? What are you supposed to do? Resist steadfast in the faith. And that's being convinced that what God says is true. When we do that, nothing can touch us. Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren, which are in the world. This, you know, we're all experiencing the darts of the adversary. We live in this world, and we're not alone, and we do this together, and we help each other. You know, somebody sang a song last night, you know, we all need help. There's no shame in needing help. We help each other stand on God's word. Where was I? 10. "But the God of all grace, who has called you unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." When we're aware that we have an adversary, we have a one-up. You know, if we don't know, then we just get blown about all over the place. There's people in this world who maybe they're not born again, and they're definitely getting blown about. You know, they're listening to this, listening to that. They have no standard of truth. There are Christians who are getting blown about because they don't really know that God's word is true, and it's the standard to make any decision by. You can turn to Ephesians chapter 6, please. We're going to take a look a little bit about how the devil works in this world and tries to influence us. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 10, it reads, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." And who? You mean I'm not supposed to be strong in myself? Oh, yeah, wait a minute. I'm weak, you know. "Be strong in the Lord in the power of his might." I have no might of my own. I have might from God, but I have none of my own, and neither do you. No, nobody does. "Be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." It looks like it sometimes, but I'm telling you, it's not people. Listen to what God says. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness from on high." That is who we're wrestling against. Weymouth says we're wrestling against the spiritual hosts of evil arrayed against us in the heavenly warfare. And, you know, that would be pretty scary if not for verse 10 and 11, you know, because it's not our power and it's not our might. But God shows us what to do about it. Before we go there, we're going to turn back a couple pages to Ephesians 2, if you would. Because we're going to look a little bit at how he works. Because, you know, I know that the devil can manifest himself and be really scary and ugly and horrible and vicious and mean. But, you know, if he worked that way, who's going to listen to him? You know, he's way more subtle than that. He tries to appear your best friend. "Here, let me help you." Well, in Ephesians 2, it says, "And you, you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince," the devil, "the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, and among whom we all had our conversation or our behavior in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." These children of disobedience, you know, these are the people that say, "God isn't really real. I don't need him. I don't acknowledge him. I don't humble myself under his ways. I know more than him, and I can make up my own way, thank you very much." And they think they come up with all these philosophies and answers and make these things up. But you know where they really came from? They're nothing new. There's nothing new. The devil uses words and he's put them in the world and they work through people. And they used to work in us. And sometimes it's still our temptation today, you know, to go back to those ways. And he's still working today in the children of disobedience. And, you know, they don't understand why we don't want to live that way. And they make you feel bad for not wanting to live their way. You know, they think you're an idiot. Well, okay, so let's be idiots, you know, according to them. In verse 3, it talks about the lusts of our flesh and fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, you know, how we wanted to live. And NIV says we were gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts our way. And, you know, sometimes we still try to do that, right? Our way. In John chapter 17, if you'd turn there. The Gospel of John, chapter 17. We're going to pick up before Jesus left this earth. You know, he spent a lot of time with his disciples and taught them and took care of them. And this whole section is an incredible section. And he's teaching them what to expect and how to deal with it. And we're going to pick it up. And after he was done, he prayed to his Heavenly Father. And we're going to pick it up in verse 12. He's praying to his Heavenly Father, our God. And he says, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me have I kept." You know, it's kind of like guarded. You talk about in 1 Peter chapter 5 when it talks about elders in the church. You know, this is the elder of all elders. You know, talking about watching out and protecting and helping. Kind of like the sheep in Nathan, the sheep, what do you call it, shepherd, and the sheep that were wandering off, you know, and giving them something, some nourishment that was worth something. You know, Jesus Christ, the ultimate. And he said, thou gavest, verse 12, those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them was lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but thou shouldst keep them or guard them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also send them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified through the truth. And, you know, this sanctified, it's set apart. You know, set apart, and we're set apart by truth. Truth or lies. Truth or lies. We're set apart by truth. And we're different. You know, when God set us apart, we're different from the world. And that's a good thing. Sometimes we don't like being different. Sometimes maybe we want to fit in. Maybe, you know, we want people to like us. But Christ says we're sanctified by truth. Our standard for our decisions and our judgment is God's word. It's truth. And we have the ability to discern good and evil. Do you know that? Just be sober, be vigilant. So we have a choice. We can think and act according to God's ways, or we can think and act according to the ways of the children of unbelief, which is the devil's ways. In Ephesians 4, back to Ephesians, I should have told you to keep your fingers there because we're going back. This spiritual battle and the church and having each other, it's a big deal. And we're going to start in verse 11, but this is when Jesus Christ had ascended. And after he ascended, it says in verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And you know that's, in NIV it says, to prepare God's people for works of service that the body of Christ may be built up. You know, it's not just apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It is one body, and they help us to do what we need to do and what we need to do for each other. In verse 13 it says, until this is going to be in effect until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, till it's all completed, you know. And the reason, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, the deceiving secrecy of men, and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I got to read you NIV. Okay. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. You want to hear New Living Translation? You're gonna. It says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. See why it sounds like flesh and blood? The warfare is against flesh and blood, because he works in people. And God tells us to beware. What's going on? Are you got your eyes open? You see what's going on around you? The things that you're listening to? Are you taking it and deciphering it and filtering it through, you know, with God's word? Beware. Be aware. Be aware. Be aware. In Ephesians, back to Ephesians chapter 6, page up. Back to verse 10. Whoops. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness from on high. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You know, remember this, we're all in this together. We're watching out for each other. Our brothers and sisters are going through the same things that we're going through. Maybe they're not the same things, but it's the same darts. This armor, you know, you can take time and go and consider every little thing about it in your own time, which would be a good thing to do. But I just wanted to kind of summarize a little bit of it. And God tells us to gird ourselves with truth. And I say to that as opposed to lies. You know, gird yourself with truth as opposed to lies, because it's one or the other. Remember our righteousness in Christ. In Revelation chapter 12, the devil is called the accuser of our brethren, who accuses them night and day. You know, we are worthy. God made us worthy in Christ. He made us worthy. He made us holy. And we can come before his eternal throne, his almighty hand, and ask for help. And don't ever let that talk you out of it. There is nothing that you have ever done that is so horrible that you can't come to God and ask for help. We're to prepare ourselves with the gospel of peace. you know, this words of life. We're supposed to put them in our head so we're ready when we go out there. Faith, believe what God says. When we do, the fiery darts of the wicked, they can't quench. I mean, they get quenched. They can't touch us. Salvation. This is awesome. You know, during the day, you can remember that you're saved. That's a great thing. But, you know, this salvation, it extends all the way through eternity. And when God will show us everything that he's prepared for us. What a thing to think about during the day, right? Eternity, sometimes you really just can't conceive what it'll really be like because our human minds, they're a bit limited. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And you know, the Word of God, it's that word of God, it's not logos, it's the word rhema. And it means a specific word for a specific situation. The sword of the Spirit, the right word at the right time. You know why we have it? Because we're prepared by the gospel of peace. And then the last thing, which is vitally, vitally important, praying always. You know, praying always for each other. And you noted that in when it talks about this prayer, it uses the word watching, perseverance, supplication. Remember 1 Peter 5? Our brethren that are in the world are experiencing the same things as we are. It's a big deal to pray. Colossians, we're going to look a little bit more about how God's prepared us to withstand the methods of the devil against us. Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. In chapter 1, it says, for this cause, verse 9, I'm sorry. For this cause we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. You know, not the other teaching, not the other winds of doctrine that originate from the adversary, but his will. Desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spirit or in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. I mean, that's a lot of strengthening, isn't it? Strengthened according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. We're going to get into that a little bit more, but patience is a big deal, you know, and long-suffering toward each other. Giving thanks, verse 12, unto the Father, which hath made us meet or adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We've been taken out of the world and been placed in a whole new kingdom, a whole new reign, a new Lord. We are no longer under the lordship of the adversary. His influences, when we do what God says, they can't touch us because we have a new Lord who takes care of us. We're partway through. We're in a spiritual battle. It's not against people. It's against wickedness from on high. God says to be sober, to be vigilant. He says that we're to humble ourselves under his care. And God made us able to resist the devil and his influences against us. And he made us different. He set us apart from the world by words of truth. And, you know, when we look at situations in light of the spiritual warfare or battle that's going on, we see things differently. You know, we don't take everything so personal. We make decisions and judgments unemotionally and according to truth. And we don't, I know we get hurt, you know, but look at it in light of what's going on. You know, you don't have to be hurt. If somebody hurts you, can't you pray for them or teach them the word? You know, can't you realize where they're coming from too? You know, they're in this just like you. We all need help. This next section that we're going to look at is truth versus lies and the power in words. In John 17, Jesus said that we're set apart by truth, which is God's word. In Ephesians 6, it says we're to gird ourselves with truth, which is God's word. You could turn to Genesis chapter 1, if you would. We're going to look at the power of God's words. This Mike Clark at the family camp last year read this section, and I was listening to it, and it floored me. It just blew me away. Genesis chapter 1. And it says in verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and God said, and there was light. Okay, verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament or a sky in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God bade the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and God said it, and it was so. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let dry land appear. Yeah, and it was so. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Pretty powerful words, aren't they? Verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth after its kind. And it was so. Okay, I got a question for you. how powerful, how effective are God's words? Do we have them written in here that we can read? Are they any less powerful, less effective today than they were in Genesis? No, they're not. They're pretty powerful words. So if God says that they quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, that's what he's given us to protect us, to help us. It's his words. In Genesis, still in chapter 3, this spiritual battle, this warfare that we're in the middle of, it's been the same since the Garden of Eden. And the warfare really is, you know, which words are we going to believe? And in Genesis chapter 3, we're going to look at what the devil, how he deceived Eve. It says, now the serpent, chapter 3, verse 1, was more subtle. He was more sly than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not either eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And, you know, she changed a word, omitted a word, added a word, and he no longer had the word. I don't think this happened in like 1 hour. You know, I think it was worked on her. And he's very deceiving. To get her to the point where she changed it all. I mean, okay, is it any different today? Come on. No, it isn't. He tries to work on us to change it a little, to rationalize a little, to add a little, to the point where, verse 4, it says, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. outright contradiction. We've heard them, right? Outright contradictions. Just listen, you know, listen a while. You watch a TV show and see what they try to promote and get you to think and want you to, you know, you're a fool if you don't believe that way. Everybody believes that way. You know, what do you call that when you have to say the politically right things and all this? Yeah, exactly. Thank you. I'm not going to say it on here, though. Verse 5, and for God does know in the day you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods. And you know that word gods is Elohim. It's you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And you know, you look at it, okay, the first thing he does, gee, did God really say, Molly, does God really say that you're a vital part of the body of Christ? He really does say. The contradiction is, no, you're no good, you're not worth anything, and it makes no difference if you are a part of this or not. That's the outright lie. And then the last part, you shall be as God. You're going to know more than him. You know what? You can figure it all out yourself. Matter of fact, you don't need God. You ever think that way? Come on. I know I have. You can figure it all out yourself. He's hiding something from you. He's lying. And if you remember 1 Peter 5, it says we're to humble ourselves under the mighty, mighty, mighty hand of God and cast all our cares upon him, for he cares for us. He can take care of us better than we can take care of ourselves. You know, there's a recent situation, like within the last year, and I'm sure this was the only time I've ever done this, but I wanted to do something my own way, and I decided how God would work this thing out and how I was going to do it. So I proceeded on my way, and I did this thing that I wanted to do because I wanted God to do it. And, you know, when it didn't work, I was a little bit frustrated, discouraged. God doesn't work in me. You know, I don't really have the ability that he says. Maybe God's word isn't true. Ah, wait a minute. Where'd that come from? I don't want that in there. That goes out. You know, that doesn't belong. I wanted to be like God. I wanted to make up my own way. Okay, you want to see something really funny? Turn to Job. This is what he got me with. Job, right before Psalms. My way. Did I say chapter 40? Job 40. Don't know why I was reading this at the time, but I'm glad I was. Job 40, verse 2. Shall he that contends with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproves God, let him answer. In other words, the one who contends with the Almighty, is he going to correct God? Well, let God ask you a question. Okay, now this is my question from God. Verse 8. Will thou disannul my judgment? Will thou condemn me that thou might be righteous? In other words, will you even put me in the wrong? Will you condemn me that you may be right? You know, and when we blame God, when we, you know, we think we don't want to be wrong. You know, we want to be right. We don't want to have to admit that we're weak, that we're wrong, that we did something wrong. But we do. And Isaiah chapter 40. If you have an NIV, you can read along in NIV. If you don't, if you just have a King James, you can either try to follow along or just listen. In Isaiah 40, verse 12, It reads, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breath of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on scales and the hills in a balance? Who has understood the mind of the Lord, or instructed him as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who is it that taught him knowledge, or showed him the path of understanding?" Verse 25, "To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these things? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the heaven or the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. In his understanding, no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases power of the weak. Even young people, grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." You know, God Almighty, this Almighty God with the mighty hand, where he says to put ourselves under him. Okay, you get it. Yeah, I think I will. He's pretty incredible. And when I get mixed up and I try to do things my way, I got to bring myself back, you know. God is true. He is always true. If I don't understand something, he can show me, you know. But what don't I understand? You know, what does he have to show me? And remember, the righteousness that we have, we can go before him and he'll show you anything that you need to see. Not because we're so great or so holy or so, you know, because we are holy. That's not true. We are holy, but it's not by our own works. It's what we've been made. And the temptation is always going to be, I know more than God. You know, and I might not be saying those words, but those are the words I'm saying when I try to do it my own way or justify my wrong way. In James, if you would turn the back of the book to James. Hebrews, James, right before Peter. James in chapter 1. And verse 2 reads, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or many temptations." I can't wait! Well, it continues, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. It brings about, it results in." Of course, you have this next word in verse 4. It says, "But let patience have her perfect work." You know, and the word perfect is mature. It's brought to its final end. You can't quit. Don't quit. Let yourself grow up. Don't quit. Let patience have her perfect work, that you might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And it's a big deal, because a lot of us, and you hear it all the time, you know, people are so impatient with themselves. They think everybody else is better than them. You know, look at him. He does this and he's never fallen. And, you know, yeah, right. Be patient. Be patient with yourself. Let God help you grow up. We're not all perfect. Remember in Ephesians, it talks about until the, you know, fullness of the stature, everything, when everything is complete, we will have perfect understanding. We won't have sin besetting us. You know, let yourself grow up. In verse 12, it says, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he'll receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and neither tempts he any man with evil. Every man is drawn or is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Been guilty, have you? You know, drawn away. Remember Ephesians, deceiving secrecy, you know, cunning craftiness, drawn away and enticed, and then you want to do it your way because that does look a little bit more fun. That looks better, but it isn't. Remember Jesus said that you might have his joy fulfilled in himself. The real joy is seeing God work and seeing his promises fulfilled in our lives. That is joy, and that is fun. We're to guard our thoughts. You know, do they line up with God's word? And remember that the devil is seeking to devour, and it is not a given. He's seeking whom he may devour. Don't want to be devoured. And we're to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Back to Colossians. I just wanted to remind you of verse 11. Strengthened, this is what God says. We're strengthened with all might, chapter 1, verse 11, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. In Romans chapter 12. In verse 1, it says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. Aren't you glad that word mercies is in there? By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We can prove what God says is true. And he transforms us. The devil, he works through words of unbelief. So you got to watch those words that are coming in. And keeping the ones that are good and getting rid of the ones that are lies. Truth, lies, truth, lies. Back to 1 Peter. We're going to close there. Chapter 5 again. In verse 6, it says to humble ourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. He cares for us better than we can take care of ourselves. He is an almighty God. And we choose to live which words, live by which words. They're either from one source or the other. Either from the devil through people or from God through people too, right? And don't quit, you know, but allow yourselves to be transformed by God's word. Don't give up. Keep going, steadfast. And pray always. Amen.
Be with me. Thanks, Nancy. Let's close this morning with number 68, the song she read to begin with this morning. A Mighty Fortress is Our God. You can all stand. Just a reminder, those of you that would like to help with the couples weekend, if you would see Kathy in the back by the giveaway board, and anyone interested in setup, if you would see Jackie on your way out, okay? God bless. Thanks for coming this morning.